And we've assembled the round table. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Two in a row, Jim. What's it mean?
Oh, I think it's all good, Vic. All arrows pointing up. I mean, good that it happened on the road. Good the way that they did it. I think that people would say, well, maybe they should have dominated a little bit more. But the fact that it started to slip away and they got the game back and had that great 94-yard drive that got into the end zone for a touchdown, I think that you're excited, I'm sure, to come to practice, to come watch tape, and to go down to the stadium and watch them play Sunday against Kansas City. I think it's good across the board.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that drive, and that's what you needed. I mean, this team had found ways to lose.
Yeah.
They found a way to win, and that was by taking the ball and just running it down the field. The other part, you know, they made a gutsy call on 4th-and-1, because that was a place in the field. If you miss there, boy, you're in big trouble.
Two fourth and one calls.
Yeah,
time.
No, gutsy call, and I agree with both these guys. I mean, a check in a lot of boxes, you know, end of the long losing streak on the road. Big drive. We're finally talking in a drive in, about a drive in Cleveland without John Elway mentioned in it.
Yep.
It was really another nice building moment for a young team that's finally, you know, I think the training wheels are starting to come off the bike.
Mm. I used this term, a coming of age of Brandon Whedon on that drive with Coach Shermer earlier in the show. He said, I don't want to be that melodramatic. But I said, okay, that's our job. Let's be melodramatic. Because I think, Tom, that could be that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real turning point in my mind. I thought, you know, we've talked about moments for Brandon Whedon all season, whether it's recovering from a pick six and coming back and driving the team down. And I thought yesterday was one of those moments. And boy, the yards after catch yesterday, I mean, I've never seen anything like that, I think, in 13 years with the Browns.
The game plan, Jimmy, the whole scheming of this what they did against this defense, this Raider defense, seemed to allow for a lot of these plays to happen. Guys were catching passes in big open spaces all day.
Well, and I think it's just now everybody realizes who they are in the offense. And I think Gordon he's the number one. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is really special, and it is that is a great thing to watch him because everything's so fluid and effortless. He's number one. But now Greg Little knows that he's really number two, and I think he's comfortable with that. I don't think that he was ready to be a number one wide receiver, and I don't know if he ever will be, but he's really starting to play well. He blocks well. He's running after the catch. He's physical when he catches the ball, and he runs away from people. But here's the other thing. I think they've been searching for that guy in the slot, whether it's Massaqua, Cooper, or whoever it was going to be. But Massaqua showed some signs yesterday that he is that guy. And on that great play, I mean, that's definitely what you need.
And the reason Gordon's number one, Doug, is that he's the guy that the opposing team's safety follows. And generally, there's the help, right? So somebody else gets those areas. So I think the Greg Littles, the Mo Massaquas, the Ben Watsons love the fact that there's a guy like that.
Well, yeah, not only that, but the fact that, you know, he didn't play for a year. And, you know, when you get out there and you haven't played and you're trying to think what's going on, a lot of times your concentration wanes. But his concentration, his hands, I think, you know, they've been the most consistent of anybody. But I think overall as a team, everybody's hands have improved in the last five or six games.
That's
We're not seeing the drops, and I think that, you know, that you know, then you start winning ball games.
And back to Whedon for a second, Vic. I think you're seeing now, you know, he's a guy that liked to look downfield first, and then he would check down when he needed to. Well, now he's finding that intermediate route is there, that shallow cross is there. And in this West Coast offense, if you can get your big receivers with the ball over the middle, they break one tackle, and next thing you know, a 9-yard gain turns into 19 or 20.
You know, Vic, I was really worried for a couple of weeks for a stretch in the season that the tight ends were lost in the offense, but now they're back. Yeah, they were lost. You're right. And now they're back, and Watson's given them like three or four really good games in a row now, so I'm sure he's feeling well. He's running well. I mean, he's running with the ball. Cameron, I think it allows him to grow into it, so I was worried that the tight ends were gone, and now they're back in there, and it looks like such a much more complete passing attack.
And Whedon continues to be an interesting study. 364 yards. He breaks his own rookie record which is in this 12-game career of his. But he does that. But he also has two passes intercepted on balls that he'd, I'm sure, like to have back. Some balls were knocked down. But what else did he do? He ran at one point where he made a decision to run that was better than putting it up. I still think there's that occasion where he'll float a pass that he shouldn't and trust his arm a little too much. But then those two very defining parts of that 94-yard drive, of the defining drive, third and one and fourth and one, and he's coming back from a concussion, and he's barreling through there with no hesitation.
Yeah, he said after the game yesterday he had never been hit as much as he was hit yesterday in this game. And, of course, he brought some of those hits on.
Because he waited, he waited in the pocket. And yeah. The throw to Massaquoi, he took a hit.
Yes, he did, yeah. I thought he played, I was shocked when he took off the first time with the ball. It was very, very early, wasn't it, in the game when he took off and he's coming back. I was really shocked, Doug, when he took off.
Well, I saw him in the parking lot out after the game, and he was talking about how sore he was going to be today. And I said, well, just go out in the parking lot, you can get practice with people. Oh, man, what a crowd.
Doug, how about, though, let's give the offensive line some credit, though. He was sacked only one time. Yeah, he took some shots on plays where there was a purpose. He's waiting for Momass and got that 54-yard play and understood that he had to hang in there as he did. But all in all, this offensive line continues to consistently do the job.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, we're seeing them actually attack the perimeter. The one Hardesty run yesterday, they did a good job of getting him out there and getting some blocks for him. And, yeah, no, the offensive line definitely has – yeah, you're going to get hits, but that's, you know, we sit over in Pittsburgh because Roethlisberger just eats it up as long as he can. He'll take the hit for the throw, and that's what a quarterback's got to do.
No, there's no question. It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's talk about this Browns defense, and I wanted to start from the front to the back, but let's start from the back and start with Sheldon Brown. An 11-year veteran, a guy who's supposed to be the guy because of that gets picked on. And, oh, by the way, he is. Clearly the Raider game plan was coming after him. And what did he do? Knocked passes down and made the big INT.
You can pick on the old man only so long, and he really responded, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, came up and made a real nice tackle on the outside. And then the interception of the season. I mean, a tremendous job by him. And, I mean, there's been a lot of people that have been ready to throw the dirt on Sheldon Brown. And then, obviously, you see what impact, once again, Joe Hayden has on the game.
Right.
You know, he absolutely shuts off one side of the field.
He really does. I mean, that's amazing. People just do not fool with Joe Hayden or something bad is going to happen to you if you fool with him. And I give that kid Gibson a lot of credit. Mm. I thought he played very well at safety to Sean Gibson, filling in for Osama Young.
Well, you know, the Raiders, they have the track team, and you know they're going to put their speed against Sheldon Brown if they could. And Sheldon, he's a veteran. He knows you give a bigger cushion, but he still knows when to react to the ball. He's a pro. And then the other one, he made a great tackle in the open field.
He did.
People don't appreciate what a good tackler he is.
I love what you said, too, about that interception and his veteran presence, because he knew enough. His film study or tape study showed him that was a great press bail situation. He had pressed the corner the receiver originally, or showed that, but bailed, knowing, like you said, the speed, Doug, and so forth, and put himself in position, and then just gets the right line of sight, turned when he had to, and or tracked the ball as he had to. And that's a quality that corners don't just get. I mean, you develop that.
Well, I mean, and when it came, Vic, I mean, that game was starting to slip. I mean, they were already in Janikowski field goal range, which is anything from 70 and in. But, I mean, they were already in range there. And you had the feeling that Palmer was in a great groove at the time. You know, he was really throwing the ball on time and two people that were open. It was just feeling a little bit like we've felt before in Dallas and other places. And, boy, what a play to come up with it.
And it's not about the yards. It's about the points. We can use that mantra, and we've heard Pat Shurmur say this about the Browns defense. 429 yards that the Raiders had, but only 17 points to show for it. And, Doug, this is what starts up front, right? This is where we're talking Phil Taylor, we're talking to Taba Rubin, we're talking Jabal Sheard, the whole Frosty record. Jaquay Parker got the sack in this game. They made life pretty miserable for Carson Palmer, and the Raiders were trying to do, and Dick Geron did as well. They're trying to counter that with that sort of slow no-huddle thing they were doing.
Well, yeah, once they got in the no-huddle, they did pretty good moving the football. I think the thing that they did was they went to the tight end a lot yesterday. We had trouble there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when a guy catches Myers, 14 balls on you, you know, he's having a pretty good day. And I don't know if you know, going into the game, he was the leading receiver. So you had to think that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Even with the speed on the outside. But when you got that speed on the outside, it gives you a lot of holes underneath.
And I don't know what the percentage was, and Doug and Jimmy can speak better to this. I like the idea that they're walking – T.J. Ward up to the line a little bit more, too. He's kind of almost playing like a rover position, if you will. I mean, he's coming up and making some plays, and I think that's helped shut down some of that rushing game.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question. And we say this on this show, I think, repeatedly, but Dick Geron deserves so much credit. What a great hire he has proven to be for this team. And if you go around the league right now, I'm struggling to find anyone that I would call a better defensive coordinator. I think Dick LeBeau gets his due in Pittsburgh, and rightfully so. But I think in his own quiet, understated way, Dick Geron is right up there with the elite D coordinators.
Well, it's such a good mix right now because I think that these young players buy into him, and I think that he's kind of rejuvenated by them. I think having a good time. This is a pretty interesting mix right now that could really end up having something very special happen here, because when you get that really good coordinator, players buying into the coordinator, and you have talent anyway. I mean, that's all you want. I mean, that's what you're looking for.
And not to take anything away from Dick LeBeau, but when Dick LeBeau gets a guy, they sit for a couple years. And so when they turn it right over, that guy is pretty well seasoned.
That's true.
And that's always been their policy over there.
And you see this happen on kids. defense as well, right? There's always kind of that feeling that if a defense comes together, like we talked about last week, it could be the identity of this team.
And we were talking about this, I think, today, too, about team identity during the news conference with Coach Shermer about the young players on the team. We've addressed them on the show repeatedly. I think now the players do understand. You said it with the receiving core, Jimmy. I think it's true with the whole team that there's a greater sense of understanding of what they are as Cleveland Browns player. I think the rookies who had joined this team before were sort of individually looking at their pro careers. Like, I'm an NFL player. Here's what I need to do to be an NFL player. Now I think they're Browns. I think they have a feeling of more of a collective sense of does that make sense to you?
Yeah, because I think some of them, Vic, and deservedly so, because of their entrance and how they came in, we're probably thinking week to week. Am I going to be on the roster? Am I going to be a practice squad player?
Right.
And I think, you know, when they went out on the field against Philadelphia way back when in the regular season opener, and you've got L.J. Fort, and you've got the other linebacker playing, Robertson playing out there too. Yeah. I mean, and you're saying to yourself, well, I mean, you know, Fujita will be back, and Gokong will be back next year. But I'll tell you what, these kids have dug in, and they've played very, very well. Buster Skrine, we've watched him, you know, go through some really tough stuff, but he's a player now on this team. You're right.
Yeah.
He is a Brown.
There's more of an investment, I think, motion, whatever it's
called. Bottomosi. Yeah. He is a Brown now.
An unnamed assistant coach told me a week ago that this is finally the point in the season where some of these rookies stop looking over their shoulders and say, you know what, I'm here. I'm not going to be cut. Yeah. I'm on the team.
Right.
I got to play my butt off now to keep my job. And so I think that's a real building moment.
All right, game balls, fun thing to do after wins. We get to do it for the second week in a row.
I'm going to give one to Sheldon Brown because I thought they went after him all day long, and I thought he won almost all of them, and he won the big one. I thought he was great. I'm going to give one to Brandon Whedon for a clutch drive, and I congratulate him for doing that because I think a lot of times that's how we measure a quarterback. Can he get you down there late in the game when you need a touchdown?
Doug? Well, I'll take those two and throw in Josh Gordon. I mean, he had a big day. It was a big presence there. But, you know, like you say, Sheldon Brown, a great leader. I mean, they're going after you, and you're answering the call.
All three of those are great choices, and I'm going to throw in Mitchell Schwartz only because, we would only talk about him if he gave up a sack or something else, and to me, he's really solidified and in a quiet way that offensive line.
I'm going to give it to the whole line. He'd be obviously someone I would single out, but I think the line as a whole, under circumstances where footing and traction was impossible, that was a horrible field. That's a horrible stadium. It's a museum. They're playing in a museum. That's what I felt like with a cavernous, all those, and underwater, and it was...
It's like when they play that one game up at Cooperstown every year.
Yes, the baseball exhibition. Right. And one more, I'm giving one more to the head coach, to Pat Shermer. I thought that was an outstanding game plan.
Well, the good call was when they got down there the last run by Richardson, they put in Travis Benjamin. So they took out the
great call.
Linebacker.
That was a great call.
And they ran right where he
was. And going for it on fourth down. Guys, thank you so much. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, the Roundtable. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.